It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
GDP numbers, an election, there's a lot for markets to think about right now. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. We'll get third quarter GDP growth numbers later this week, and they're likely to be relatively impressive, even record-breaking. But because the second quarter was so rough, we need some context on what big growth numbers are telling us. Thankfully, Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, is here to help us out. Julia, good morning.
Good morning.
We're curious about sort of how the markets are going to react leading up to the election, but it sounds like it doesn't necessarily matter sort of what happens, that we're probably not going to see any sort of injection, any sort of stimulus until next year, yeah?
Yeah, so as the chances of a Democratic sweep have risen in the polls, the markets have, one, become pretty optimistic about more fiscal support coming, even though we got sort of stuck in the mud with negotiations now. We're not likely to get anything in Q4 during the lame duck session, but then in the first quarter of the year, we could see, you know, pretty significant fiscal support legislated. So, you know, it's a bit of a mixed picture because we're going to be without fiscal support for the next several months at a critical time. We've made a lot of progress, but we've made a lot of progress because of fiscal support. So how do we weather the next 4, 5, 6 months?
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Julia, thanks so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
Inspire Brands, the owner of Arby's, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Jimmy John's, is in talks to buy Dunkin' Brands, which owns the namesake coffee chain and Baskin-Robbins. According to the New York Times, the deal could be announced as early as today. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab is with us. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Andy.
All right, so hit me with the details of this deal.
Well, Dunkin' has been doing pretty well during the pandemic. Its share price has more than doubled since March, and this deal would take Dunkin' private at more than $106 a share, 20% higher than the company's closing price on Friday.
But if I remember right, Dunkin' wasn't doing so well at the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Yeah, the company did see an initial 20% drop in sales and even made plans to close about 800 stores. But since then, the coffee chain has really pulled ahead by building up its app and drive-thrus.
So it sounds like people are still buying coffee out, even when more of us are working from home. Is that happening?
Yes, but our caffeine habits have changed a bit. Customers have been visiting Dunkin' later in the day, and they're actually spending more on pricier items like espresso and other specialty beverages, which has been part of the brand's goal for a while. A couple years ago, Dunkin' dropped donuts from its name to focus on drinks, and now that's how it gets more than half its revenue.
And it seems like this is a trend that we're seeing during the pandemic, chains being bought to create bigger conglomerates, more of a consolidation of things.
Yeah, this summer was the busiest in decades for mergers and acquisitions. More than $1 trillion in deals were done in the third quarter. Part of that is because M&As slowed at the beginning of the pandemic and have gotten going again. But also, companies are starting to think about what a post-pandemic world might look like and what deals they can scoop up now. For Inspire Brands, adding Dunkin' would expand its portfolio into the breakfast space.
Marketplace's Kristen Schwab, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For a quick wrap of the day's economic news, today, listen to my colleague Kai Rizdahl, host of Marketplace on many public radio stations or marketplace.org. $100 billion. That's roughly the number of plastic shopping bags that Americans go through every year. Often we use them once for a short amount of time, then they go tossed in the trash. But it's the kind of garbage that never really goes away. It litters our streets, wreaks havoc on marine life, and takes centuries to decompose. Now, there's an immersive pop-up art exhibit in Times Square designed to bring more attention to the problem of plastic pollution. Marissa Mazria-Katz has more.
Even during the pandemic, Times Square is buzzing. There are buskers, people posing for selfies, and of course, those iconic glittering billboards that shine all night long. And in a storefront on a corner of 47th Street is the plastic bag store. It looks like a grocery shop. There's a cereal aisle, bins of tomatoes and bananas, but...
You will notice that everything is made out of plastic bags.
That's artist Robin Frohart. She spent a couple of years scouring New York for thousands of plastic bags. Then she went to work transforming them into things like an apple.
This is probably two or three watered up plastic bags, then encased in a red plastic bag with a little bit of a straw jammed into the top as the stem.
And then there are the labels she created, Bag and Jerry ice cream and Chobaggy yogurt. Over on the magazine stand, there are issues of Bag Appetit and Bagmopolitan. There's certainly a lot of humor here, but for Frohart, the plastic bag store is not just an elaborate one-liner.
The environment is an important issue, and I know that we have all been fighting for our lives and our livelihoods, but that doesn't mean that all this stuff is going away. It's never going away.
The plastic bag store was originally slated to open in mid-March, the week the pandemic shut down New York City. In August, the state began to ease restrictions on museums. That's when Gene Cooney, the director of Times Square Arts, the organization that commissioned the project, thought it was time to open its doors.
Something that imparts a sense of levity and allows you to laugh or, you know, reflect is really important right now.
There's no charge for the exhibit, but because of COVID-19, there's a limit on the number of people who can enter at one time. In New York, I'm Marissa Mazurek-Katz for Marketplace.
The PGA Tour says it'll slowly begin letting fans buy tickets to watch pro golfers live again. Beginning this week, small numbers will be allowed on the course for the first time since March. Now, don't expect packed galleries, but I guess it's a start, right? I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.